Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. He is risen, and so have you. You've gotten out of bed. Thank God. Yeah, man. No, it's good to have you all here this morning. My name's Tim, and welcome to Greater Alton Church. One announcement. There is an Easter egg hunt for all the kiddos after church behind the church building. You can't miss it. You'll see it all out there in all of its glory. So today is Easter Sunday, and it's good to have, like I say, to have you with us today. 2.5 billion people around the world are celebrating what commemorates the greatest historical event that's ever happened in the history of the world. It's based on what Jesus not only said, but what he did on Easter. And so you think about that. In one word, this word Easter explains it all of why Jesus did and what his impact he still has on this earth over 2,000 years later. I mean, you think about this. Without Easter, the story of Jesus is just another story. In fact, it's a sad story when you stop and think about it. And it's just a glimpse. It's just a little historical moment. I was watching my YouTube shorts, and Ben Shapiro shows up, and he's being interviewed about Jesus Christ, about Easter. And he says, I don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. I believe he was somebody that was killed because he rebelled with a few men, rebelled against the Roman government, and he lost. He was killed because of it. That's sad to hear that. Jesus says, I'm back. I came back. The Romans tried to kill me. The Jews tried to condemn me, but I came back out of the tomb. And so without the resurrection, not only is Jesus a sham, but what you and I believe, what you're here for today, is the biggest lie in history. Look at this passage here in 1 Corinthians 15 up here if you want to follow on your notes, or just look up on the screen. Here's what Paul says about the resurrection of Jesus to the church, to the believers in Corinth. He's trying to reassure them of some things. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. We are of all people most to be pitied. So without Easter, without the resurrection, what we're talking about today, what many of you have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your time. I had somebody one time say to me, well, Tim, the reason you're a Christian is because, you know, God is your crutch. You know, or God is, you need, you know, it's easy for you. I'll forget this. It's easy for you. And I go, easy? I fight Jesus on a constant basis. I have selfishness so embedded in me that I'm constantly running into what the Savior says versus what Tim says. And I don't like it at all. And the people go, but that don't make sense, Tim. It makes sense when you are honest about this. To believe in Jesus Christ, to follow the teaching of Jesus Christ, ain't all that what it's cracked up to be. It can be kind of tough. It can be pretty hard. Without the resurrection, man, I don't have to do this anymore. Great, because it doesn't make any sense. But if the resurrection took place, church, then everything that Jesus did and everything he says is very important. Very important to live by. Look at this. What I think is interesting is that Easter is more than evidence of an empty tomb. I'll hear people say, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And I say, big deal. Big deal. Have you ever walked out in your parking lot and forgot where you parked your car? It's gone. Where's my car? Somebody stole it. I don't know how many people. We're going to church camp this year, and somebody will miss their Bible, or they'll lose their ball glove. Somebody stole it. It's missing. It's missing. But, you know, and the thing about the tomb, you know, it's empty, it's empty. So what? Where's the body? Where's the body? That's really what Easter's about. Not about the empty tomb, nonetheless, but about the body that came out of that tomb. See, the tomb doesn't give me hope. The body gives me hope. How about you? It's this resurrected body. That's why the gospel spends so much time and give us 8 different instances where Jesus keeps appearing. They keep bringing up these eyewitnesses. They saw Jesus here, kind of like Elvis at Kmart. They saw Jesus in the marketplace. They saw Jesus on a country road going outside of Jerusalem. They see Jesus in a room. They 500 people see him at one time. And there, when you got one or two people seeing Jesus, I saw Jesus, maybe you were hallucinating. Was you drinking? I mean, what was it? Was you smoking some silly stick? What was you doing? No, it's not that. I'm telling you, I really saw him. But when you got 500 people at one time, nobody's hallucinating with that. That's eyewitnesses you can count on. And see, eyewitnesses have that kind of power. Because they validate what happened to those that were not there. How many of you here were born before September 11th, 2001? Raise your hand. How many of you here were born after September 11th, 2001? Raise your hand. You didn't see it. Anybody? How many of you have been to New York? First time I went to New York, it was in 1975, 2 years after the Twin Towers were opened. How many of you have been to New York at Ground Zero now? Raise that hand up. I was there, some of you, I was with you. Big old hole, still smoking. Still smoke, still resonating out of this hole. I have no doubt that September 11th in 2001 happened. I saw what they showed us on TV live. I was at a barbecue place watching this go down. My wife calls me up. You're not going to believe this. A jet has hit one of the towers. Oh, so, you know what, a little Cessna? Oh my gosh, Tim, a jet, a 747 just went through the second tower. Get to a TV. Some of you here, never been here. You go, what was that like? It's kind of like one time I asked a guy who was at Pearl Harbor. I said, what was it like? He didn't want to talk about it. Eyewitnesses have this incredible, they have credibility. And by the way, I don't have to be at Pearl Harbor. I don't have to watch films when I can talk to an eyewitness of what happened in World War II. I don't have to see any more footage. I don't have to read any more facts. I got it from the eyewitness. And the Bible is filled with eyewitness accounts. That's what Luke's about. See, the Gospel of Luke, he wrote to this guy named Theophilus. He said, I'm going to give you an eyewitness account. I'm talking to eyewitnesses. I want you to have a good, solid story of who Jesus Christ is. And in the book of Acts, he goes right into the history of the book of Acts. It's a very solid book. Why? Because it has eyewitnesses all over this story. A week had passed after Easter, and there was one fellow that had not seen Jesus yet. It was Thomas. If you remember the story, they're all together. Hey, we've seen Jesus. I haven't seen him. I'm telling you, he's alive. I don't believe it until I see him face to face. And I put my fingers in his nail holes in his hand and his side. He's just bragging up. I haven't seen him. I got to see him. He doesn't ask about it. I know there's an empty tomb. I saw the empty tomb. I want to see the body. And a week later, Jesus shows up and he goes, he has to say, everybody calm down. Peace be with you, because they're all freaking out again. And Thomas is like, uh-oh, busted. Here comes Jesus. Thomas, come here. What? Put your hand. Put your finger there. What's that like to put your finger in a hole? Put your hand. No. Go do it. What's Thomas do? He gets on his knees and goes, my Lord and my God. That's what he calls Jesus, his Lord and his God. And look at this verse. Look at this next verse in John 20. Jesus said to Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. But look what that next verse says. Blessed are those who haven't seen me, but believe. Jesus says, you believe because you see me. Did Thomas walk by faith? Well, probably to some degree, yes. But he says, but he had sight. And Jesus says, blessed are those who haven't seen me, but believe. Let's admit something. Seeing is believing. Would you agree with that? Of course. Seeing is believing. And the Apostle Paul one time said to a king, what Jesus did was not done in a corner. It was done where everybody could see it. He wasn't trying to hide what he was doing. And Easter, see, church, Easter has a lot to do with eyewitnesses that saw the body. Like I said, eight different times we have accounts where Jesus was seen by people and women and groups of men. And why does he do that? Why does he appear on Easter and make sure for 40 days he's walking around, I'm right here, eating food in front of them. One time he makes breakfast for these guys or makes a meal for them while they're out fishing. And they're all sitting around a campfire and nobody dares ask who he is. They know who he is. Those two guys on the road to Emmaus, they're walking along and Jesus joins them 7 miles to this town. And what do they talk about? Well, what happened? It's the third day. They go, man, it's the third day. And, you know, nothing's happened. And he goes, what are you talking about? You're the only person on the planet that doesn't know what's going on? Well, there's this guy named Jesus from Nazareth. He was amazing. And he did all kinds of powerful things. And he claimed that he was going to be killed and then resurrected. He was going to rise from the dead on the third day. Well, it's the third day. And Jesus looks at him and goes, you guys, you got to be kidding me. What do you mean he was? I is. I'm right here. And so what's he do? He starts quoting from the book, from the Old Testament, from Moses and the prophets, explaining, it says, about himself to these followers. Oh, we still have trouble following Jesus, don't we? We still have trouble believing this. It's hard to imagine someone dead and resurrected. And finally Jesus is getting ready to walk along. Oh, don't, stay with us, Jesus, because it's getting dark outside. And what do? They sit down and they're having a meal and he's breaking bread, giving it to them, and they take a bite and he disappears right in front of them. This Jesus is something. He's gone. And they're going, were you thinking what I was thinking? I was. That had to be him. And what do? At night, they're tired. They run 7 miles. Some of you long distance runners. These guys run, they've not had practice. They're running 7 miles back into Jerusalem to tell the disciples what's going on. It's had that radical of an impact on their life. Jesus appears on Easter for everybody that wasn't there. I asked you, how many of you were around when Kennedy got shot? John F. Kennedy. Look at that. Just a handful of us. I remember I was in the first grade. I remember what that was like. 40 days after that, following the assassination, I saw Jack Ruby shoot Lee Harvey Oswald on live TV. And I watched the funeral of JFK. We had pictures of JFK and Bobby on our wall at our house. We were Kennedy people. Most of you here, which Kennedy? Who? Don't know it. All I know is what I read from books. And yet there's still eyewitnesses around. And it helps us understand. We weren't there, but it happened nonetheless. Why does Jesus appear to so many people on Easter? Let me give you four reasons he wants you to know. Because we weren't there. The first is, Jesus wants me to know who he really is. Who he really is. Really is. I've heard people say Jesus is a good man, or he was a good teacher, or he did good things. The resurrection makes it clear that he was much more than that, church. One time they said to Jesus, hey, would you prove who you are? Because he's walking around claiming to be the Son of God. And here up on the screen is Matthew 12. Here's his response. He says, Jonah was in the stomach of the big fish for 3 days and 3 nights. In the same way, the Son of Man will be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And he did that. Paul would reflect on it this way. He called it good news. The good news is about God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As a man, he was born from the family of David, but through the Spirit of holiness, he was declared to be God's Son with great power by rising from the dead. See, the Lord's appearance shows who he really is. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of Almighty God. That's what Easter's about. It's making it very clear when he appeared, I am who I claim to be. Look at this in Acts 1. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You see, on Easter, Jesus goes public. Man, he goes public. He's seen by lots and lots of people. Look at this passage here in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, I pass on to you what was most important. Circle most important. This is something that's very, 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 it's the most important thing for a Christian. And he's telling this to Christians. Many of these people are not at the resurrection. They're pagan. They're Greek. They live in the city of Corinth and they've followed Christ. He goes, I pass on to you what was most important and what also has been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And look what it goes on to say. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. And last of all, I also saw him. Like I said before, we still have people alive that are around when Kennedy was assassinated that you can talk to. We still have people, some eyewitnesses alive that were in World War II. When the Beatles came. All this history, we still have eyewitness accounts. You ever wonder, is that true? That really happened? One day, you're going to be sitting around, the rest of us will be gone. But you're going to be sitting there, and your grandkids are going, Grandma, tell us a story. We heard about COVID. Was it real? Was it real? It was a nightmare. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. They wouldn't let you go travel. You couldn't go to Walmart. What's Walmart? That's another story. Am I right? One day, you're going to be the eyewitness of what's been going on around here. Jesus appeared to a lot of people on purpose so you couldn't miss it. And he just didn't do it on Easter. I heard a five-year-old one time, they asked a five-year-old, what did Jesus say when he came out of the tomb? And she goes, I know. He said, ta-da. That may be true. That may be true. I don't know. I like that. But he appeared 40 days after it was over. That's until May. He's walking around. There's Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you saw someone alive that you went to the funeral 3 days or a month before, are you going to go, yeah? Are you going to go, what? It's going to freak you out. And Jesus is walking around to make it real clear. I'm back. We have eyewitnesses. Look at the people he appeared to up on the screen. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to his disciples numerous times. Two men on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Thomas. And he appeared to crowds. To me, that's one of the biggest convincing things I love. He went to big crowds so that it just couldn't be a UFO sighting. Well, you know, you were having trouble or you were under duress of some sort. No, I got 499 buddies with me. We saw this. You see, I don't have to see the body. You don't have to see the body for it to be true. Because you have eyewitnesses. You have people that said, I saw it. They're not crazy. They're not weird. They're regular people. Said, I saw this. See, all I need is the testimony of the eyewitnesses, and we've got plenty of them. That's the first reason he appeared to so many people, so you and I, who weren't there, can know he really is who he said he was, and he is. Number two, Jesus, there's another reason he appeared. He wants me to trust everything he says. He appears so that I can trust everything he says. He tells his followers over and over again, you read the scriptures, the Son of Man's going to be betrayed, he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's going to rise from the dead. He said that over and over and over. He'd say things like, I tell you the truth. What's been written about me, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected. It's funny, you hear this, and I think to myself, well then why do the disciples have such a hard time believing what he said? Well, I have a hard time believing what he says. But yeah, but they saw him. Boy, I don't know. It's hard to follow Christ sometimes, huh? And the thing I notice here is that he's saying, look, I know it's hard for you to understand. I mean, I saw the empty tomb. They're going, but that's not enough. I got to see more than that. In Luke 24, Jesus appears to these guys. And he walks in. You read Luke 24. He walks in and says, peace be with you. And they're going, it's a ghost! It's a ghost! They're trying to get out. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not a ghost! I'm Jesus! Come on! You look like a ghost to me. How do I convince these guys? You got anything to eat? Give me something to eat. It says one of the disciples handed him a broiled fish. Who was brave enough to hand him a broiled fish? He's got to be alive. He's eaten. What? He's like us. He's eaten. Even though he walked through the door, which is kind of freaky, he could eat. And look at this. Jesus says, he says these words in response to that. He says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. I told you I'd be betrayed, I'd be killed, and I'd rise on the third day. It's written in the scriptures. It's even written down for you and I. And after this encounter, he leads them out of this room of doubt and ascends into heaven. And the Bible says they worshiped him and they were filled with joy. Why? Because they realized what Jesus said was all true. It was true. Paul says this to Timothy. Again, Timothy was not there. He wasn't even born yet. And Paul passes on to Timothy, Jesus Christ is a descendant of King David. God caused him to become alive again after his death. Remember that. These facts are part of the good news that I tell you. Romans 4, Paul would tell the church in Rome. Again, people that weren't there. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Listen to me. It's important you not understand that. You've got to get this. The first part doesn't matter if the second part doesn't happen. Think about that for a minute. The first part, all the promises, all the things that Jesus said, and all the things he did, he died on the cross, doesn't matter if the second part doesn't happen. That means that the resurrection means that every promise that Jesus has made you is you can count on. It means every warning he gives you, you need to take seriously. And it means everything he taught, beatitudes, whatever, everything he taught is right and is best for our lives. So he appears on Easter to make it clear, this is who I am. And what I say, you can take to the bank. And here's the third one. He appears on Easter because he wants to show me that there's life after death. There's life after death. There's lots of books out. Have you guys maybe watched the movie? Maybe a movie or two where somebody died for 5 minutes or 30 seconds or 30 minutes or whatever. And they wrote a book. What was heaven like? And you say, what do you think of that, Tim? I don't know. I'm not so sure that they really die. I've had a friend of mine one time say the doctor said he was dead on the operating table, and he said, I was sitting up in the corner of the operating room watching the doctors work on me, Tim. And then I described to the doctors and the nurses everything that was in the room, and they went, how could you do that? There's no way you'd know that. We put you under. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. Is that proof there's life after death? I don't know. I really, really don't know. Maybe they were just resuscitated. all these people? I don't know, but I know this, a guy that's been dead for 3 days and he's alive again, that's a resurrection. There's no way to get around that. And nobody has done that before. Oh, I read about some God back in the way back. Nope, didn't happen. What about that prophet? Didn't happen. He's still in his grave. No, Jesus Christ is the only one that said he could do it and did it. And he kind of, think about this. By doing this, he kind of takes the guesswork out of everything here. Now you can know. Oh, is there life after death? Oh, yeah. Jesus goes, sure. Look what he says here. He says to this woman, he goes, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Didn't he tell the criminals on the cross, one of them, today you'll meet me in paradise? After we're dead, I'll see you. Church, the road to Easter is not a dead end. It may lead to the cross and lead to the tomb, but it goes out of Jerusalem. It goes out of the tomb. It goes, keeps going. It's eternal, this road is. And it's even here in 2023. He shows himself again for over 40 days to prove that there's more life ahead. Look at this passage here in Acts 1 again. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond a doubt that he was alive. They saw him and talked with him about the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 6, Solomon asks this question. Who knows what's good for a person? They live for only a few meaningless days. They pass through life like a shadow. Who can tell them what will happen on earth after they're gone? Jesus can. Jesus can. How? Why? Because he's been there and back. And finally, Jesus appears on Easter because he wants to radically change your life. I don't know if anything more radical. Dead to life. That's a pretty big shift, isn't it? That's pretty huge. And that's what happened here. And one of the things that I find hard to explain is the drastic shift and the radical shift in how the disciples were before and after Easter. How do you explain that? I mean, a few days earlier, they're all just down in the dumps. Their heads are hanging. They're at the cross. They're confused. I thought we were going to take on Rome. They're discouraged by this. Well, he just breathed his last. He said, it's finished. He's not breathing. Jesus is dead. What? I thought he was the way, the truth, the life. He's dead. And what I think is interesting is that they're this way, but after Easter, these unschooled ordinary men now are bold. They're ready to take on Nero. They're ready to take on Rome. They're ready to take on the whole world. How do you do that? What happened? What happened to you guys? We saw Jesus. And we saw him alive. That's why the church took off. That's why the church just exploded. Because these guys, you couldn't stop them. There's a guy named Chuck Colson. Way back, he was one of the guys that was involved in Watergate. For those of you who don't know, talk to an eyewitness. There's somebody here. But Nixon had this thing going on and Watergate started. And Chuck Colson goes to prison. And when he goes to prison, he starts reading his Bible and becomes a Christian. And here's what he says. I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Well, because 12 men testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate? Well, it involved 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. And see, that's what I want to encourage you with this morning as we close here. Easter is, yes, to show who Jesus is, and you can trust what he says. And there is life after death. There really is. There's life offered to you after death. There's eternity's coming. But he wants to radically change your life too. Just like he did those 12 apostles and the 120 and the 3,000 and the 5,000 and the 7,000. All these churches that were planted. He wants to radically change people's lives. Look at this in 2 Peter. Here's Peter, one of the guys that actually saw Jesus. He said, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and serve God. We have these things. He goes, how'd you get those, Peter? We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I pray also that you'll have greater understanding in your heart so that you'll know the hope to which he called us and that you will know how rich and glorious are the blessings God has promised his holy people. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him at the right side of the heavenly world. The same power, he's saying, that raised Jesus from the dead raises clarity when you're confused, raises courage out of you when you're afraid, resurrects hope when you get worried about things. And we've got plenty to worry about, don't we, have church? Jesus says, you got plenty to hope for if you know me. He raises confidence out of doubt. He raises, listen, from your sins and strongholds, he has rolled away. He's taken addiction and raises out of it sobriety. Thank God. Because he took the toughest thing head on, death itself. Nothing is dead forever. You're not done. Some of you here this morning, maybe you go, you know, Tim, you don't know my story. I'm so messed up. Jesus Christ he has the power to restore and resurrect you. My marriage is shot. He can restore and resurrect your marriage. My finances are shot to pieces. He could restore and he can also rebuild your financial security. Listen, God supplies Easter power when you turn to Jesus and believe. When you turn to Christ and begin to trust him. The road from Easter. Listen, church, for some of you here, the road from Easter started years ago when you made Christ your Lord. And some of you today, the road from Easter could start today when you take that first step and give your life to Christ. That's when he transforms it. That's when he changes it. So today, you can say with confidence, he is risen. If you're a believer in Christ, let me tell you can say he's risen. It's true. If you're someone go, I'm not so sure, I don't know what to do, why not open the Bible with somebody? We got cards in our bulletin. You can say, I want a Bible study. I want to learn more about this, about Jesus Christ. I want to know. I want to know, like Paul said, the Christ and the power of his resurrection. You can know it. Easter gives you that opportunity. That's about it. He's risen. He walks around and he wants to walk with you. We're going to pray together, give you a chance to fill out anything you want on those cards, a prayer request of some sort. Maybe there's something in your life you go, man, it's dead, Tim. I'd love to see life in it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Why don't you ask our prayer team? We got a ministry devoted to praying through those cards. And again, I want to tell you, they don't go around calling each other going, guess what so-and-so said? No, they say, God, look what so-and-so said. Can you help them? Can you answer this prayer? Take advantage of that. Or maybe you're wanting to make a decision. I'm going to open the Bible to somebody. I'm going to get baptized. Oh, wow. You want to get baptized? Guess what happens when you get baptized? You're buried with Christ and you raised to walk a new life, a transformed, different life. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You're making that decision, man. We really want to help you there. Don't waste this road from Easter. Get on it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Father, thank you for Easter Sunday. Thank you for the evidence. Thank you for all the eyewitnesses. Father, your son did not do this in a corner. And Jesus, we thank you for making it clear that you are alive. And Father, I think about a passage that says that you don't die again. You resurrected and you're not dead. You didn't die like everybody else that's been resurrected in the Bible. They went on maybe to die, but not you. You still live. You're living right now. And we pray, Father, that we'll be encouraged to get on this road with you, this journey, that we can know that you are who you really claim to be. And what you say, every word of it is true. Because you did the second part, we know the first part's true. Help us see, Father, we're only going to be here a short time. Only a short time. Then we're going to meet you. And Father, I pray everybody here can meet you with confidence. Most of all, Father, I know somebody here needs to know. They need to tap into your power. They need your power. They cannot kick that. They cannot deal with this. They can't overcome this without some help. And Father, we know your body, the church, can help. But we know ultimately your body, that resurrected body, can help the most. So we pray, Father, that you, for those of us here who are discouraged, transform that discouragement into hope. And let us be truly touched by this Sunday in a way that will cause us to take a step on the road from Easter. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh Lord, you searched me. You know. Separate me.